Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, you'll want to invite everyone over, from book club to the fantasy league, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick scented oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
You're listening to The Kelly Green Show.
E-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Bunch of underdogs. And you know what underdogs is? It's a hungry dog. Hungry dogs run faster. And that's this team.
Here's your host, Football Kelly.
Welcome back to the Kelly Green Show. We are on to week 2, and I have a new guest on the podcast to address the Eagles' week 2 opponent, the 49ers. I know a lot of people would love me to talk a little bit more about that exciting win in Atlanta, but let's be real. We have to focus on the new opponent, the new challenges that face this team. That win is over and done with. Let's get on to the 49ers. My next guest is Melissa Jacobs, who is the founder and the managing editor of thefootballgirl.com. She's a champion for women in sports and just so happens to be a 49ers fan herself. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, helping Eagles fans prep for this upcoming week. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Kelly. I'm still sweating the end of the 49ers-Lions game, but they emerged 1-0, so it's all good. It's all good. Man, I just feel bad for the people that are gamblers out there. I'm sure you have listeners that are. I hope they didn't bet on that game because I heard the 49ers wound up not even covering.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty intense to see the end of that game. I think a lot of Eagles fans were keeping an eye on the 49ers, knowing that they will be coming to Philadelphia for the home opener. Definitely was interesting to see that comeback by the Lions at the end. We'll get into all of that. Both teams recently made Super Bowl appearances that are in a quarterback transitional period. This game has a lot of different storylines going into it. What is the headline you think should be, you know, for this particular matchup?
Oh, well, I mean, I know it's kind of the basic thing to say, but I think both of these quarterbacks are super intriguing. I mean, obviously what Jalen Hurts did last week, and I know there were some questions on him heading into the season. And despite the 49ers not performing that well in the run defense, that this will be an upgrade. This will be more of a challenge for him this week versus what he saw against Atlanta. But like he just, from what I saw, as I told you, I didn't watch every second of that game, but his decision-making seems so on point. So I want to see how he does against the 49ers. And then, you know, the 49ers quarterback situation, which I think is a lot more peaceful than people probably think. But Jimmy Garoppolo also performed very well last week and played pretty mistake-free football. And so I want to just kind of see how those two teams do. I think I could say in both cases against elevated competition.
Yeah, I definitely think this week will be more of a challenge for both teams that, like you said, than they had in week one. Tell me what you saw from the 49ers in week one for the fans that didn't see that game against the Lions.
Well, it wasn't the best start. The first snap on offense was a fumble. So that wasn't great. But then after that, it was kind of lights out. It was 3.5, you know, great offensive quarters. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo found Debo Samuel all day, found Kittle, the emergence of Elijah Mitchell, the rookie running back who came in to supplant an injured Raheem Mostert, who now sadly is out for the season. But I think a lot of people thought that was going to be Trey Sermon's job, mm-hmm. and he was a healthy scratch that morning. So it was just interesting to see. I mean, you know, and Mitchell showed his explosiveness, ended the day over 100 yards. I mean, he, you know, it just was a very in sync, you know, in sync offensively with some pieces in there that were kind of unexpected. I don't think, I mean, Brandon Ayuk wasn't targeted once. So, you know, there's some things that might shift this week based on how practices go. So that was, you know, there's a lot of promise, you know, defensively though. I mean, first of all, the Lions had a field day against the 49ers run defense. So that, you know, and I know the Eagles also performed very well in that regard in week one. So that's definitely a matchup to see if the 49ers, you know, interior D can, you know, be a little more solidified. You know, Nick Bosa coming off of the injury, he actually in the first half, like Penei Sewell, the Lions top draft pick. I mean, he kind of dominated Bosa, but then Bosa in the second half started to look like himself again. And finally, you know, the other major issue with the Niners defensively is corner. I mean, they lost Jason Verrett out with an ACL tear for the season. They signed Jake Kirkpatrick, but they were already really thin at that position. So, you know, what they do against a more explosive offense in Philadelphia is, again, going to be really interesting.
Thanks for listening to The Kelly Green Show. This episode is brought to you by Bet Online. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest open now at BetOnline. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yeah, you mentioned the two injuries that I was aware of. So Raheem Mostert actually started his career as a preseason hero in Philadelphia. And I loved him here. I'm so sad to hear that his career has had a couple of bumps in the road and that he is done for this season. So that's definitely a bummer. The 49ers are no strangers to having to adapt their backfield. And it seems like Shanahan kind of keeps all of that depth on that backfield for that reason. Last season, the 49ers had five different running backs that each had a week as the team's lead ball carrier. Like, you guys constantly have production at the running back position. Do you think you'll be okay coming into Philadelphia without that starting player, especially given the results from your rookie last week?
Yeah. And, you know, fantasy owners, like Kyle Shanahan's basically like enemy number one to anyone who plays fantasy football.
But you never know who he's going to go with.
I mean, you never know. And even watching his pressers this week, he's cryptic. He loves it. I mean, he's not intentionally trying to dupe fantasy owners, but, you know, he's a strategist. He's not going to say like, Elijah Mitchell is going to be our top back. And, you know, he has a lot of interesting schemes and he uses the little nuances of his running backs in different ways. I mean, that's very signature Shanahan. So he still has, you know, he still has the depth. He still has Jamichael Hasty there. The team really likes, but in no way, I think, can we come out of week one, despite what we saw, I know, every fantasy league I'm in, like everybody's bidding like half their waiver money on Elijah Mitchell. You can't come out and say like, he is now solidified as the number one back.
Yeah. I think that's the challenge of Shanahan, because even as you were mentioning Brandon Ayuk, who everybody going into the season thought would definitely get a ton of action, got zero targets. So it's almost like you're preparing for all these different offensive receiving weapons. Now you have to consider the differences in the running backs who you haven't even had any tape on. And then you have two quarterbacks to try to plan for. I mean, how difficult does that have to be for a defensive coordinator like Jonathan Gannon must have his head spinning trying to plan for Shanahan, especially because he is an offensive genius. He does execute very well.
Right. And you don't know. I mean, that's the thing. We have no idea if Trey Sermon's going to be in there for, you know, he's going to get 15 touches or zero, like zero idea. And I mean, Shanahan's not going to tip his cap there. And same with IU. Like, is Sherfield going to be in on more snaps, or is IU like you have no idea. Are they going to bring in more two tight end sets? Like it's just there. I mean, again, and this is Shanahan's baby. Like, he loves just having this super, you know, deep, complex playbook that gives opposing defensive coordinators fits.
That definitely seems to be the case. One question for you about the quarterback situation, because I know that we don't have a ton of clarity at that position, but this is kind of like a fun way to address it. Over under Trey Lance having 5 snaps in Philly this week.
I think it's going to be over. I think it's going to be 6.
Over,
I think it's
5.
Gonna be 6. Okay. When you started asking that question, I was like, if it's games, I'm going to be very confused, but if it's snaps, I got 6 in my head. And then you said,
okay. There. Okay. Yeah. That seems fair.
I think it's going to be a closer game. And I think, again, it's just another tool. As you said, it's so hard to plan against. Going into week one, like, I didn't think Trey Lance, I almost said Trey Sermon. There's too many Treys in the Bay Area. Too many new Treys.
We have Jalen's, you've got Treys.
Jalen Rager, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it's right. Very confusing.
The Treys and the Dubois, there's got to be like some meshing of those names somehow.
Definitely.
But yeah, I mean, I if somebody asked me how many snaps he would have played a week ago, Trey Lance, I would have said maybe one, maybe he gets in fourth quarter if it's blowout. I had no idea. But then you saw the 49ers last preseason game, and you know, Shanahan ran with this complete like quarterback rotational thing for a while. It's another weapon, and he's such a different quarterback than Jimmy Garoppolo that it just completely, again, I would hate to be trying to game plan against Shanahan.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the concern that I have as an Eagles fan going into this game, trying to kind of even prepare yourself for like who's going to be on the field at what any given moment. You have to keep being aware of everybody that's on the other side of the field. So definitely is that ripple to the 49ers' ability to have such great depth at the roster positions across the offensive board. So outside of, you know, the ripples, there's two names that definitely jump out. They were stars of the game last week. We got to address Debo and Kittle. Mm-hmm. What are you expecting from them, and how does any team slow them down?
I mean, you have a better quarterback situation than the Lions, I think. So I think that's gonna have a little impact, but George Kittle, I know there's conversation of Darren Waller maybe being two, or is it Kittle the second best tight end behind Travis Kelce? But I mean, Kittle's just a beast. Like, and you get him in open space, and then they designed plays where Kittle was in open space a lot last week. And I mean,
that's like dangerous.
Lights out. It's dangerous. It is lights out. And, you know, for Debo, he made a couple just sensational catches. And he, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people thought that Ayuk was actually going to sort of supplant him in training camp. They actually think he's maybe a little bit more, has a little bit just more physicality and talent and you know, just slightly, right? Like 1A, 1B. This isn't, you know, a huge disparity we're talking about, but Debo had an incredible training camp. I mean, you could see the play designs like shifting toward him a lot more in that game. And I mean, I think he's very hard to cover. I'll just say that.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think that your offense is one of the best in the league right now, especially after that performance week one. 41 points is incredible. I know that the defense did get a pick six against Jared Goff, so have to, you know, factor that into the end number of the scoreboard. But that offense hit the ground running, and they were very effective in Detroit last week. The Eagles defense was able to get to Matt Ryan last week in Atlanta. Are you concerned or confident in the 49ers O-line ability to protect your quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, they played well last week. It's so hard because it's 1 week, right? So you're like, yeah, okay, they handled the Lions, but I think that's even more so maybe than the quarterbacks and whether they can piggyback on what they both respectively did in week one. It's how the offensive line is gonna handle the Eagles pass rush, the whole thing. So
the Eagles will have that home field advantage. I know that Eagles fans are going to be loud as hell. I'm just curious if you're confident in that 49ers squad to handle it.
Yeah, I'm a little worried about some false starts, but
that's to be expected.
I know it's not loud there, right? Isn't that like a library in Philadelphia?
Oh yeah, we're really calm.
Very calm fan base.
Everybody talks about how calm we are as a fan base, so don't even worry about us there.
And how rational too, right?
Oh yeah, we're the most rational fan base. Exciting news. Our pod is partnering with PlayActionPools.com this season to bring some interactive fun to the sport we love most. You'll be able to get in on the action with our PlayActionPools.com Football Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everyone. Here's how it works. Sign up for our contest, Bleed Football Pick'em, at PlayActionPools.com, and then get your picks in each week. We're going to select the 10 highest profile games of the week between NFL and college football. Whoever gets the most picks correct each week will win a pair of electric sunglasses and a pair of DC shoes. Again, go to PlayActionPools.com and sign up for the contest Bleed, B-L-E-A-V, Football Pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contest, go to PlayActionPools.com today. They've got Survivor, Pick'em, as well as cool sportsbook concepts called Build Your Bankroll. PlayActionPools.com, your new home for all your office sports pools. Let's talk about the defense, because obviously the offense got off to a great start last week. We talked a little bit earlier about the comeback that, you know, Jared Goff and that team made against you guys. It seemed like it kind of happened after Verrett went out with the injury. Is that fair to say, or do you think that there was other components to why they were able to kind of come back at the end of that quarter?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, we have the injury, but they had actually taken out DeMeco Ryans had taken out several of the starters in the second half and then had to bring them back in I think that was a factor as well. But I mean, the Niners are generally thin at corner and the secondary. And I think that's just a huge concern. And this is again going to be a huge litmus test because they were facing Jared Goff, and Jared Goff is not an upper echelon quarterback. I don't want to say it a different way. So I think this, you know, and he doesn't present, he's not dynamic. He doesn't present a lot of different looks, and he's not a threat in a lot of different ways. This is just,
he's not going to run on you for sure.
He's not going to run on you. I'm trying to figure out a nice way to say it. and I just had delved into this whole, column or feature that Jordan Rodriguez, she was on my podcast this week, about how he's just so stymied by any like post snap defensive shifts and how that got exposed. So I just think it's just a very different situation. I don't have like a absolute takeaway from the 49ers defense overall, because even like with Nick Bosa, as I said earlier, he didn't look like Nick Bosa in the first half, and it was like he just had to settle in, and then he looked like Nick Bosa in the second half. He finally got that sack. And, you know, I don't think anything changes in terms of the 49ers secondary. It was already not great coming in, and losing Jason Verrett is a pretty big deal. I mean, he's not a shut down. Corey's not the top, wasn't the top corner in football, but like a solid, smart, somewhat reliable player. So
yeah. Yeah. And he was your starter. So that is a big loss for that secondary. You mentioned D'Amico Ryans, who is a former Eagles player. What have you learned about his scheme since Saleh went to the Jets?
Well, not that much, because it was such a, it was such a blowout. I mean, I'm still sort of learning his scheme itself. Doesn't seem like there's been that much of a shift in terms of what Saleh did, but, you know, I think just getting a lot of these players back, D Ford and Nick Bosa, there's like different tools and slightly different shifts that you can use with that kind of caliber of player. So that he's sort of maybe like experimenting a little bit still.
Is there anybody specifically on the defense that you looked at and said they're definitely making that stride for your team? Like, they were coming on. I mean, last year you guys had so many injuries. It's almost like who are you looking at this year in week one and saying, you know, wow, I didn't know he was going to be this good this year.
I mean, I guess Dre Greenlaw, he would be the one that stuck out. I mean, he had a little groin injury, but he was pretty explosive. He had an important pick six. I know Fred Warner had ton of tackles, but yeah, I would say Dre Greenlaw, the rookie 2 years ago. I guess he's third year. I was thinking rookie last year, but it's been so long since I've been in the Niners building, because I think of talking to him as a rookie, but that was
COVID.
I mean,
completely ruined that.
Yeah. Yeah. Javon Kinlaw, he was the rookie last year, but yeah, I mean, Dre Greenlaw looked really good. But I don't, it's again, I don't, it's hard to say against the Lions. It's hard to just come out with a lot of absolutes against a team like that.
Well, I guess what my question for you next is what did you see that they were doing effectively against the Lions to shut them down early in the game that made them so like create that big lead? Was there anything in the defensive side of things that was just clicking and they were creating pressure, doing what was the thing that was creating that big blowout?
There was a little pressure, but I feel like it was mostly, I mean, I have to go back and look at tape, but I feel like there was just a lot, you know, they were kind of playing a little bit. You know, I feel like there just wasn't a lot of open lanes for Jared Goff in terms of, you know, passing lanes. And he's just not that accurate of a quarterback, and they just don't have a lot of weaponry. I mean, they did succeed in the run. But yeah, I mean, I think they sort of applied pressure, I guess, you know, when appropriate, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And it looked like TJ Hockenson was basically the main target for Goff in the offense. So they were probably able to take him away at some points during the game because he was like the main.
Yeah. Main I mean, target. It's, you know, with an offense like the Lions, it might be the worst receiving core in football. And like, except if, you know, if you consider TJ Hockenson just a tight end and don't put him in that group. It's like, who do you have, you know, where do you go after him? So he, you know, but I mean, Jaquiski Tartt, you know, I know he gave up a touchdown to Hockenson, but there's just not a lot of like, it's just not a very powerful offense to really like raise your defense against.
Yeah. And so, you know, then kind of shifting your attention, Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor, a lot of these younger guys who really don't have this NFL experience just yet to really gauge what they will be, but definitely have the potential. Are you a little concerned about what they could do against your secondary?
Yes, very much.
Fair answer.
I saw those Devontae Smith highlights and was like, yeah, that's going to be, I think, especially given, you know, the injury situation. And I do think this maybe has the makings of a shootout. Every time I say that about a game, though, that it becomes like some defensive battle royale, or it's like all these mistakes are made or whatever. But yes.
Okay. Well, it is a special game for Eagles fans because we haven't had a full stadium for Jalen Hurts' career, for Jalen Reagor's career in Philadelphia. Obviously, that was their first year last year with COVID and everything. Darius Slay was, you know, traded to the Eagles last year, so he didn't get to experience the full fan base. I just expect it to be a very loud environment, just kind of this homecoming type of game. Does, you know, your team traveling for the second time in a row across the country factor into any concerns you might have, especially because they're coming into such a volatile and very loud environment?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are just any team like the 49ers that are just have a very strong organization and just are really well coached. I mean, Kyle Shanahan's seen it all, right? Like, he was in Washington, so he knows.
Oh yeah, he's used to
the Eagles. Yeah, he's used to you. And I don't know if you know this, Kelly, but they stayed on the East Coast this week.
They did. So
They did this last year, or I guess 2 years ago, pre-COVID. The 49ers actually did this back in the Jim Harbaugh days. They would stay when they would have back-to-back East Coast games. They would stay in Youngstown, Ohio, like where the DeBartolo family's from. And they would have this whole, except I think they would have to stay at like a Holiday Inn or something, because that was the best hotel they had. But now they stay at the Greenbrier, which is like, it's a very fancy resort that built a practice field. I know some teams have had like joint training camp practices there, and they're just there all week.
I had no idea.
Yeah. It's very like, I actually want to write a story on the Greenbrier at some point. Like how
you
they
definitely
turned
should
like fancy resort into, I mean, I used to live in DC, and my husband and I would like be like, talk about that as an option for like a romantic weekend getaway. And now like teams just, There's literally the hotel built a like regulation size practice field there.
That is incredible. I'm shocked I hadn't heard that this was happening at all yet. So the Eagles have been resting a lot of their players today. Have you heard anything as far as injuries on the player side for the 49ers? As far as what we know about anybody outside of the two that were put on IR for the year?
I think Javon Kinlaw and Dre Greenlaw, who came out of the game with that groin injury, I heard he wasn't practicing today. That's the only, I think Javon Kinlaw, I don't want you to quote me on that. Definitely Dre Greenlaw. Okay. It's confusing, right? Kinlaw, Greenlaw, but Dre Greenlaw definitely was supposed to be held out. Javon Kinlaw has a knee thing. He's a maybe. And then I think Emmanuel Mosley, the corner, is also maybe not supposed to be practicing as he is trying to get healthy. So, and by the way, the Greenbrier is in West Virginia officially.
Okay, so they'll be coming up from West Virginia for the game on Sunday at 1:00.
Yeah, so they will officially be on East Coast time. So sorry, Eagles fans, you don't have
that's
competitive advantage.
It's good to know ahead of time, because I was just thinking that's a lot of travel for them. That's good to know. All right, yeah. So outside of everything that we've kind of discussed, is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would really like to address as far as this particular matchup or just the 49ers in general?
I mean, I think you did a really good, thorough job. I mean, I mean, I'd love to be able to say that I could like give you something, you know, more definitive on the defense, but I don't like overreacting, I guess. And I don't want to like make up things that don't exist after week one, because I think this game is like going to be so much more telling.
Yes.
So I think
that's what a lot of fans.
Yeah. I think we've kind of covered the main talking points of like the things to look out for. Again, it's the secondary, it's the run defense. Can they step it up? How does the defense as a whole handle a totally different quarterback like Jalen Hurts? And those are my main questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of Eagles fans are kind of gauging what we have with this team off of this 49ers battle. And it's probably because it's a battle in the trenches. O-line, very strong on both sides. Very strong defensive fronts. Should be an interesting game. And we will see who is able to pull out the win in Philadelphia this coming weekend. So I definitely appreciate your time, Melissa. Thank you so much for coming on and giving your insights into the team that we will be facing this week. Why don't you tell everybody where they can go to read your stories, listen to your podcast, and follow you on social media?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Kelly. And I love that you have this podcast. It's great. You can follow me on Twitter at the Football Girl. I'm pretty active there, maybe a little too active according to my family. I write on the footballgirl.com. We have fantasy rankings there too. And I also am a contributor to The Guardian. I'm going to be writing their NFL column this week, in fact, and write some other like NFL features for them. So you can find my work there as well. And then the Football Girl podcast is weekly, and you can find that anywhere that you get podcasts.
Well, that is awesome. I really appreciate you coming on again. Thank you so much, listeners. Please go check out the work that Melissa is doing and support women in football.
Yes.
And don't forget to subscribe to the Eagles Unfiltered podcast for future episodes of The Kelly Green Show. And fly, Eagles, fly.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. That's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.